For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball isn't boring, and once again, we have the guy coming on who has come on so many times since we launched the podcast and continues the conversation because he loves baseball, and he loves the podcast, and he loves being an ambassador of the game. That is the oldest professional athlete currently still playing in any of the four major sports, Rich Hill. Rich Hill joins us once again, and I think that This time it hits. You know why? Because he's right in the middle of all the stuff that's going on with baseball, with the pitch clock, with the new rule changes, all of it. I do not know what it's like to be a pitcher right now on a major league mound with a pitch clock. All we can do is ask people. But Rich, our pitch clock correspondent for Baseball Isn't Boring, has reappeared. And boy, did he bring it. I want you to subscribe. I want you to rate. I want you to leave a nice review. I want you to listen. I want you to go buy the book. I want you to go buy the t-shirts and the sweatshirts. All of it. Because after hearing Rich once again, you're going to be all fired up about the great game of baseball. In a spirited, not necessarily a positive way, in the sense of like, oh my goodness, everything's going great. But in a more informed way, in a way where it says, how great is this that we get to go through this and have this sort of insight into how the 2023 season is going to be different. Rich Hill brings the noise when it comes to what's what and these new rules with the pitch clock, all of it. All right. So enjoy the listen. And then we'll reconvene. As I said to Rich at the end, we're going to reconvene shortly, certainly before the season starts, and see where we're at, where all this rule changes, all this pitch clock drama, all of it. It's not just so simple as the games are quicker. You're going to understand that. We're here to educate. And for that, we have Rich Hill. All right, well, listen. I do not know what it's like to be a major league pitcher in spring training these days. But fortunately, we have someone who does. Rich Hill, what's going on?
Hey, Rob, how you doing? Great to hear you, see you, and be back in the rotation, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're in multiple rotations, and so all off season long, we were talking about what things might look like. Guessing, talking the great game of baseball, and now here we are. We're smack dab in the middle of it. So I've actually not only have I been anxious to talk to you just because I haven't talked to you, but I'm anxious to talk to you now that you're sort of in the middle of your new world. So, So I guess the broad question is your existence what you thought it would be right now? Are things weird or are things pretty much what you thought they would be?
Yeah, no, obviously you never know going into a new situation, new organization, and obviously new guys on the team, everybody's, new teammates all over the place. But yeah, it's been great. It's been, an incredible spring training so far. And, seeing all the arms that we have and the guys that just have so much talent, it's been a lot of fun to be a part of it. And also, get my work in and perform and produce, in my own way that I know how to.
Did they put so the biggest question is, did they put our good friend Mike Burrows next to your locker?
No, they did not.
No. Oh, I have no power. No. I have no juice. I have no juice, Rich.
No. But early on in camp, we actually had to do a split kind of thing, because I guess now Pittsburgh's spring training is the oldest spring training park and facility in Major League Baseball. So we do a split thing. We go down to the minor league side at Pirate City for 2 weeks, and then we come up to Lecom Park in Bradenton and move everything up there, you know, for the next day and for games. And there's only two fields at Lecom really to do everything. There's a backfield and then the main field.
Okay. So
yeah.
So they didn't squeeze you two together, no matter what is what you're saying.
Yeah, no. He's having a great camp, though. I mean, like, you know, the way I've watched him throw the ball, he's, you know, really the ball's coming out of his hand great. And
well, it's because of your mentorship. I mean, yeah. I did talk. We had a podcast with Ben Sherrington just before spring training, and he thanked the Baseball Isn't Boring community for allowing you to mentor one of his young pitchers. So there you go. Oh. So.
Yeah, spreading the word throughout baseball one player at a time.
All right. Well, and by the way, the Baseball Isn't Boring hats are on the way, and yes. And shirts and sweatshirts, and I just sent about a bunch of t-shirts off with Jorge Alfaro, because I felt like Team Colombia needed to represent Baseball Isn't Boring on the international stage. So there you go. So
that's
spreading the word.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide. You're the new Mr. Worldwide.
Well, Prestige Worldwide, exactly. Oh, God. All right, well, so we talked about, like, you know, what things are, what whether or not they were what you're going to be expecting, and that you said with the Pirates. But in terms of, and Rich, like, I just finished a run of doing 9 straight broadcasts, so I have digested the great game of baseball. And so you
didn't really dip your toe in. You just jumped right back in.
Did I ever jump back in? And
were you in there with Joe? Were you in there with Joe?
Yeah, with Joe, with Will. Yeah, the whole crew. Yeah. So went out to Arizona, came back, and then just dove right in. But so take me through some of this stuff, because there's a lot to pick through here when it comes to life as a major league pitcher right now.
Right. Do we have enough time?
We have plenty of time. We have whatever time. But my wife can wait for the dinner reservations. It's completely fine. But I will say this. So when do you want to start with it?
That was my pun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was an excellent job. Oh, okay. There you
Thank
go.
You. Thank
I,
you.
I'm not that quick today. But okay. So what do you got? So wherever you want to start, take me through your world right now.
Well, I mean, I think if you want to start with the pitch clock, I mean, that's the most pertinent and
relevant
topic throughout baseball. And, you know, I think there's a lot of concerns about it, not only from the pitcher's side, but also from the hitting side. And I believe that any time that you're having an outcome that is in part because of a non-competitive act, it's not sports. You know, it's not, and especially not baseball. You know, I think that fans pay good money to come to a Major League Baseball game to watch the pitcher face the hitter and the hitter face the pitcher, or vice versa, whatever. But they don't want to sit there, as case in point with the Red Sox and the Braves a week ago or whatever it was, and see somebody come up to bat in a crucial situation in a tie ball game, and the pitcher on the mound in a crucial situation, and the umpire called time and say, that's strike three or that's ball four, because that is, you know, that is the ultimate non-competitive act that we, you know, as players, that's what we work for. We work to go out there and show what we can do on a daily basis on the field, not for a clock to determine the outcome. And that is, in my opinion, you can't argue it. You can't argue it. Because it's however you want to. I like, and I will say this, I do like the game, the faster games. I don't have an issue with that. But again, I don't want to see a result come from a non-competitive act. That's it. I don't understand how difficult that is. And I and these rules are in place to speed up the game and hopefully not punish players. I think that's the idea that we're trying to come across. So if that's what we're trying to do, why would we not just put another 5 seconds on the clock? You know, I think that would alleviate a lot of things. I think there are some issues where, you know, we have you got 30 seconds if you back up third base or, you know, home plate, and people will say, well, don't be so bad. And, you know, don't have to back up third base or home plate, but you only get 30 seconds to get back on the mound and throw a pitch. That's, you know, I just think that a lot of this stuff hasn't been thought through as far as the timing and the cadence of a game. I got called for a ball my first outing. And in fact, it probably, you know, which is ridiculous, but in fact, it should have been a strike because I was ready. And they, or sorry, I wasn't, or I was on the mound. I don't even know the whole story, but the hitter wasn't ready either. So it could have went either way, I guess, but the umpire didn't have his mask down. So what we're going through is this mirroring effect where we're so used to seeing a natural progression and a flow of the hitter getting into the box, the umpire pulling the mask down. Okay, now we step on the mound, or vice versa, where the hitter sees us get on the mound, they get in the box, the umpire pulls his mask down, now they're ready. Now it's, you just have to be ready. Whatever you see, it doesn't matter. Whoever gets there first, you know?
Right, right. So
I want faster games. I think everybody wants faster games, but I don't want to, you know, in my opinion, I'm not a soccer fan. I enjoyed the World Cup over the, you know, the holidays. It was great. But, you know, if soccer came to me and said, like, or came to a 5% part of the population that were not true fans of the game and said, hey, you know, we're going to do all these things to make you enjoy, I'm still not going to watch it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch soccer. I'm just not a soccer fan. So well, you don't want to.
You know, you had said, you know, and I like the idea of adding 5 seconds. I like the idea of adding. So when we had talked a lot about this heading in, about we had whatever it was, 5-6 months to sort of digest this. And then you get to spring training, and I'm sure they're trying to mimic it in the backfields and trying to emphasize things. But what are the things that, and you mentioned through or touched on some, but what are some of the things where you're like, when you get out there, like, this isn't working. This isn't right. You know, like specific things.
Well, I just feel like, you know, some of the, you know, if you have the pick over twice, in order to, if you get them on the third time, right, and the runner gets in a rundown and ends up going back to first base and he's safe at first base, does that count as a balk? And it does.
Yeah.
It's a balk.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely bat crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
I never even thought of that, honestly. I never even thought of that. And this is the thing that you guys are coming up with stuff all the – every single game, there's something that comes up. We had a thing the other day where there was – Tanner Houck was called for a ball for delay because the pitchcom thing wasn't
– No, working. Yeah, but that's the other side of it. Is the pitchcom, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Stop the clock. This is where – And I talked to some of the umpires, and I said, you guys aren't – they didn't sign up to be police out here on the field. They didn't sign up to, like, you know, run the clock, you know, check, undress the pitchers as they come off the mound, make sure that hitters are in the box on time. And, all you know, everything that's going on, they're paid to call strikes, fair or foul, safe or out. That's it. And that's what their job should be, in my opinion. In my opinion, that's what it should be. You know, I think that there's going to even be more rules that are coming down the pipeline that we haven't seen yet in a couple of years, where teams are going to get, you know, docked for taking their starter out too early. I mean, we're going off the path here, but, you know, where you're going to lose your DH. All these things are down. They're coming. They're coming. They're going to take away the DH. The pitcher's going to have to hit. Who knows? Maybe somebody from the stands can come in and pitch. crazy. But in my opinion, again, it comes down to the competition part. Competition. If I'm paying money to go see a baseball game, to see players at the highest level compete, I better see that. That's what I should see.
Mm. Yeah. It's do you find yourself when you get out there? So Chris Martin came in the other day, his first time. And listen, this is a guy who's been in the league 8 years, smart guy, everything else. And he said, it was not what I expected. I felt rushed. And then little things, and I felt discombobulated. I found myself trying to find the clock. You know, that's another thing. Yeah. Like you for the pitchers, they're like, clock? where am I with the clock? You know, all this stuff. And then you can hear the umpires, the hitters and the pitchers mic'd up, and they're constantly asking questions. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? And I get it. You know, like there will be solutions. People will get used to it. But the other part about this, Rich, and I think this is going to be a straight ball right down the middle for you, is one thing that we haven't seen and we can't see in spring training is that how this stuff manifests itself in innings 7 through 9 in a real major league game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't. You cannot manufacture that in spring training. You can't manufacture the gravity of the situations that are going to be going on. The importance of, you know, obviously every at-bat in the game. And that's not to just to say 7, 8, 9. I mean, there are guys that are fighting for jobs that, you know, 1 through 6 as well. And to, you know, make a ball of the first pitch of the game or strike of the first pitch of the game, that could change the whole outcome of the entire baseball game.
Right.
What if that first pitch that you didn't get in the box in time and ball one or whatever, or strike one, and that could have been the home run that changed the game, you know?
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
We'll never know. We won't see it.
Well, what are some of the things that, you know, people have talked about? Well, I'm going to throw the ball. Like we see now all this gamesmanship or ideas of how to manage this stuff, and whether it's throwing the ball out, whether it's dropping the ball, whether it's, you know, like, well, sure. Yeah. Quick. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you can't change the ball. I don't know. I've heard a couple different seconds now, either 8 seconds or 9 seconds. I need to find out which one that is, because you can't, you know, if it's 7 seconds, you can switch the ball out. Can you switch the ball out? Can I get a new ball? I can't get a new ball. I have to do it by 8 seconds. And then at 7 seconds, it's too late. And then what do you do? Can I still get a new ball and the clock winds down and see if I can catch it and throw it at the same time?
Yeah. it's, and then you have, you know, then, you know, we have examples of, okay, well, like Scherzer, he's going to quick pitch guys. Or conversely, you know, like pitchers are trying to, well, pitchers and hitters are they're all trying to figure out, like, number
kind
one,
how to take advantage of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's what I'm trying to do too. I'm like, well, if this is what we're all going to have to play with, but it's complete BS because you're putting the hitter at a disadvantage. And I don't want to face somebody when they're not at their best. And how can you say they're at their best? And that's not a competitive advantage when you're quick pitching guys or guys aren't ready in the box. I mean, it's not right. You only get one timeout as a hitter, and the pitchers don't get any timeouts.
Right, right.
I mean, I would like a timeout every now and then.
Well, this is another thing that some managers have said, we think that these rallies are going to spiral out of control, because as a pitcher, you want to take a deep breath. You want to regroup. Yeah. And now it's like, no, keep going. Keep throwing those bad pitches with those bad mechanics, you know?
Yeah, well, or you have a young guy out there that you could be, you know, detrimentally hurting his career. And I think that's something that is getting overlooked, because the mental game of baseball is so vitally important that they're going to have to rewrite the book on some of this stuff.
On some of the numbers.
Well, no, on, where we're taught to slow the game down. Now it's like, okay, how are we going to operate in this situation where, you know, everything's going to be going really fast for a young guy that hasn't experienced, any kind of maybe adverse conditions in his career, and now he's experiencing it for the first time in the big leagues. That could be, like I said, that could bring up a lot of different scenarios and a whole lot of issues that teams are going to have to combat.
Do you guys, as pitchers, you must sit around talking about this stuff all day long, right? I mean, yes. A lot.
Yeah, I would say in the locker room, there's not a lot of guys that are in favor of it. And
oh, really?
I would argue that that's probably a lot of guys throughout, baseball. And it's not an issue until it affects you, right?
Yeah.
So if you haven't had any issues with it, then you say, wow, this is great. And I work quick. I haven't had any issues. Like, I've had one ball called on me in five innings. So, and I'm not expecting to have an issue with the clock at all.
Yeah.
This is my issue is with, taking away the opportunity, like we saw in the game with the Braves and the Red Sox. And you have no idea how that kid's going to perform with bases loaded in a 3-2 count, or if that pitcher is going to be able to make that pitch.
Right.
Because, that's it.
Well, like
everybody gets a trophy.
Like you said, you work quick anyway, but the difference is, okay, that's fine. But the difference is for you, there is those times where like you can have 10 straight pitches of working quick, but I want to pause for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
To survey everything that's going on, and you don't have that anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, you punish the hole for a few guys that were slow. So I don't think that's not very fair. That's not fair to me.
Yeah.
But hey, if that's the way it's going to be, I'm not going to have an issue with it. I don't like seeing other guys getting, adversely affected by this clock that may have had routines prior to this for years, decades. Some guys might have had these routines for decades. But I think the thing is, and this is obviously, I am in favor of a faster game. There's no question.
Yeah, but I think you said it. I mean, and I'm with you. I think that if you just add, and this is
five
maybe,
seconds. I said add 5 seconds.
Yeah,
5 seconds.
5 seconds.
What's the harm? You're going to still have a lightning fast game. And you know what? If guys can't, and this is where I also lean on the other side, where it's like, oh my gosh, it's been 30, 40 seconds in between pitches. I mean, when you look back at some of these games, yeah, it is tough. It's tough to watch it. I get it. I totally understand that because I like to work quick. But the happy medium, I think we're close to the happy medium. Yeah. I think we're too far on the quick side. And, we had a situation with Andrew McCutchen who I didn't see it, but I heard about it. The umpire wasn't ready. The catcher wasn't ready. I don't know. And Kutch was outside the box, but everybody was saying, get in the box, get in the box, get in the box, because it was going to be 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And he hopped in the box and he got a strike called on him, but nobody was ready.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like nobody else was ready to play the game.
Right.
But he ended up getting the penalty as part of this effect that we're all used to seeing. Like you look back, okay, umpire's not ready. Okay, the catcher's not ready. He's still standing up. So I just don't understand how that's going to be. I get it. Now, if he gets in the box and everybody gets down within those 8 seconds and the pitcher gets the pitch off before 1 second, nobody gets affected.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make any sense to me that the hitter has to be the one who initiates all of this. He should be allowed to get in the box at 1 second. And as long as I have to deliver the pitch, if he's comfortable with that, so be it.
Right, right. Do you feel the hitters? I felt watching the game, especially early on, hitters were swinging at a bunch of first pitches or very early in the count because I think that they were getting in the box. It was so frenetic. They're like,
yeah.
I don't know if you got that vibe too or not.
I did. I think I got that. I think a lot of you're seeing a lot of late bad swings. You're seeing a lot of. And again, you're seeing some guys with rushing through the pitches as well because everybody's just trying. To your point, everybody's going to make the adjustment. We will eventually get to the point, I think, where everybody – but this is one thing that I have heard is that the guys who were in AAA last year said that the way the umpires handled it they understand how to restart the clock. They didn't keep the guys, you know, who were actually, let's say, to the example that you used earlier, you're 20 pitches in a row or whatever, you're two innings, you're working really quick, where it's like, hey, you know, if I stepped off or whatever, or had to do something, you know, he would say, no, no, reset the clock. He's been working quick. Like, yeah. There's a feel to all this. And I think that that's something, you know, we had a meeting with Rob Manfred this morning with the Pirates and breaking news. and, you know, it was all about these issues. These are the issues that were brought up, you know, where guys are just really following the rules to a T, which they should be, right? But if that 5-second buffer was put in there, an extra 5 seconds, I think it would take a lot of that, you know, I don't know. I guess it's the discretion of the umpire to understand that, you know, if things are going really, really quick or speeding up too much and they can recognize it, they can, you know, reset the clock or try to keep the game at somewhat of a reasonable pace instead of going lightning quick.
Mm. You know,
but still keeping the product the way it should be, which is the best product in the world.
So without getting, you don't have to give me verbatim or specifics, but you know, this is one of the things about all of this stuff is that we threw all of this at you guys like in one big lump sum. And there is gonna be adjustments. There's absolutely gonna be adjustments.
Yeah.
So when you guys are meeting with Manfred, did you get the sense that he understands that
he does? Yeah. I felt that, but now it's the implementation of it. Okay, so what is going to be done? And you know, I think that's something that they understand, that they've had numerous meetings with many teams, and I think they're meeting with Boston and the Twins tomorrow. And they've had, you know, again, these numerous meetings, and they're taking all these notes down, and, you know, we'll see if some of this actually is applied, within the first month or hopefully in the next couple of weeks where we can make some changes before the season even starts.
Yeah.
Because the other thing at the end of this too, is that the players' careers are a short window, and to have an effect on their career, which this could, is something that doesn't sit comfortable with me at all. It doesn't sit well at all with me.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. And do you get the sense, I mean, this would be a pretty dramatic thing, but do you get a sense, we still have 3 weeks to go. Do you get the sense that there is a possibility that they might tweak some things, or are they pretty dug in, you think, for this year?
Well, I don't know if they're 100% dug in. So that leaves me to say, yes, I feel like they will make some tweaks, especially with, you know, the pickoff rule that I said, possibly, you know, with backing up the bases. And that's where I heard in AAA, you know, whoever was on the clock or, you know, the umpires would understand that, like, hey, he had to just sprint all the way back. You know, or whatever, the play just kind of, there's a lot of stuff going on in one play. Guys are running everywhere. The umpire understands that maybe they can take a timeout, or they can, you know, do a reset on the clock instead of having it run down so quick where, you know, we're left with no quality of pitch.
Right.
Or the hitter doesn't have the quality of swing that he wants to take.
Right, right.
You know, I think the other argument was, or not argument, one of the other things was the bullpens in different stadiums. They're in different parts of every stadium, and the relievers have to run in, you know, from some places a very long distance. Mm-hmm. You know, if you use, for example, Pittsburgh, right, from center field. Okay, that's a long haul to get into the mound within, I think it's like 2 minutes and 10 seconds or something like that, or I'm not 100%. So the suggestion was to start every pitcher when they hit the dirt of the infield, because that's the same everywhere. That's the same everywhere.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So if you go to Philadelphia, the visitor's bullpen is up top, and you have to go down a flight of stairs.
Right.
And then you have to come out. For example, in Tampa, the bullpen is down the right field and left field lines, which shouldn't take as long, right?
Yeah.
So there's an advantage there. So, you know, you start in Fenway, it's in right field. you know. In LA, it's way back out in left field or right field. It's like way pushed in the corners.
But I like that idea. I like that idea of getting to the. I mean, all because all you raise a good point. That
yeah.
This and this is and one of these things that these guys have been saying is in early on is say, hey, listen, you know, one of the things that we know understand that we better be warmed up because we don't know how much time we're gonna have.
So. Well, I didn't even get a chance to ask this morning about, you know, with certain conditions and you need to clean your cleats off. Will we have time to do that? Or is that something that, you know, because you're going to be in Boston and in Pittsburgh and the Northeast and you're going to be playing in a lot of rainy games where you should be able to be afforded to clean your cleats off because it does end up becoming a health and safety issue. Now, all this is such little ticky-tack stuff. I understand people are listening.
It's not, like, though. It's not.
No, it isn't. That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, it isn't because, you know, you're up against a freaking clock.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen. We solved a lot of the world's actually, we didn't solve any problems, but we surfaced some problems that hopefully will get solved. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to make the world a better place. And I hope that you'll reconvene with me in not too long so we can see exactly, you know, heading into the season if things have changed at all. So,
yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Well, Rich, keep up the good work. Look forward to your success. And like I said, we'll reconvene. Actually, I'll probably see you up in the glorious Bradenton. What's the hot spot in Bradenton? What's going on?
Bradenton. Let's see. The Lost Kangaroo. There you go.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. I look forward to it. All right, man. Yeah.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.